Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, glamour and illusion. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Each individual is responsible for eradicating glamour and illusion from his life. And in freeing ourselves, we make a major contribution to humanity. We each have to identify our particular glamours. Does it seem to you that the present times are unusually conditioned by glamour and illusion, or has it always been that way?
I don't know if anyone could give the definitive answer to that, but it does seem that we are wading in a sea of glamour. Perhaps it's the war, the rethinking of a lot of the ideals and assumptions that have guided our national life. Maybe it's the fact that there's more light pouring into the world, which I also believe, and that reveals glamour and illusion. Perhaps we should begin by explaining what we mean by glamour. People might be thinking of Hollywood and long, beautiful dresses and red carpets and lots of designer jewels and handsome, famous people. It's not that kind of glamour. Glamour in the Ageless Wisdom, as used in the books of Alice Bailey in particular, is the word that describes the major characteristic of the emotional world, which tends to be distorted. Illusion refers to the distortions of the mind, the wrong ideas, the wrong thinking. Glamour is more emotional, or in fact, it's actually a combination of emotion and mind. Alice Bailey said, when the thoughts of the mind meet the demands, the desires of the emotional nature, there is glamour. It's sort of like what happens when you pour cold water into a hot pan and there's steam. That's the nature of glamour, the fog that's thrown up. She said that lower kingdoms, like the animals, vegetable, mineral kingdoms, don't suffer from glamour because they don't have that aspect of mind. And the higher kingdoms, the spiritual kingdoms, have transcended it. It's just us human beings struggling in glamour.
Yes, and that's because of the strong, particularly now, because of the strong astral emotional nature where everyone seems to be focused in the desire nature. So it does tend to build a lot of distortion into the way we perceive the world. And blocks off reality from getting through. So it's a very subtle thing, but everyone is subject to all these kinds of glamours, that is particularly the ones that are mentioned in the Ageless Wisdom, that as you said, they're the result of the inflowing life, light into human consciousness, and it stimulates the desire nature, it stimulates the mind and awakens the mind, but it also tends to create distortion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the this is what we're talking about, the glamour of distortion.
There's the mm-hmm. French word for glamour is mirage, as in mm-hmm. a mirage. And that's an inverted reflection of a distant object, isn't it? The kind of shimmery spot on the road in the distance when you're driving on a hot summer day, or some distorted image in the desert. But mirage is a good term, because the Edge's Wisdom says that the astral plane as we perceive it or experience it is actually reversed. So what this means, and what we should take deeply into our thought, is that what we feel, what we sense, what we often attribute to others is in fact within ourselves. And what we project onto others is often a problem, an unredeemed area within ourselves that we're not ready to face yet. And what we interpret in emotional situations could quite possibly be the exact opposite of the actual facts of the matter. Glamour, as one begins to study it, should make one deeply suspicious of one's emotional reactions.
Yes, I mean, there are that old famous glamour of self-pity. That's probably one that everybody is subject to, but you may not even think of it as being a glamour or a distortion, but it is, because it tends to hide the truth. It's one of the major glamours of particularly thinking people, where the mind is involved, because it draws the attention inward towards the individual, and so one tends to lose sight of the truth.
You mean it's not really true that nobody understands me?
Of course not. Oh, that's the...
That's self-pity.
Yeah.
That I have it harder than others, that I'm not understood, that I don't get the help other people have, that I don't have the advantages, that more is asked of me than others, that I bear a bigger burden than everybody else, and so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth. So, I mean, everybody can identify, I think, with that is one of the major glamours. And there are many other glamours that...
Well, one that's especially noticeable on the spiritual path, the glamour of destiny, that you have a special calling.
Right.
That God has something special in mind for me.
And yes, and particularly aspirants who have stepped on the path or claim to have stepped on the path, and they're the ones that... suddenly they get enlightenment and they become illumined in some small way, but that gives them the impression that they have a great piece of work to do, and they have to stay with this, and everything that they say is very important, and so forth. And it's kind of the duty, and it leads to an overemphasis of the sense of responsibility. And so
we do, each of us have something to contribute. It's true, the soul does have a reason for incarnating, and it's always for purposes of service. It's just that the distortion that makes one's own particular contribution so special and so rare and so privileged, that is a sign of glamour.
Right, and but another one too that is very prevalent today is the glamour of devotion,
mm-hmm.
and that's very strong, because well, it's fine to be devoted to a particular cause or a particular service work, and that's a very necessary kind of characteristic to have. But it also can be carried too far, and it tends to result in fanaticism and pride and a belief that my way is the only way.
Or that only I can really take care of the situation, only mm-hmm. I can really provide what's needed to make mm-hmm. things turn out right. It's a powerful driving glamour in very good people in situations like family life, where parents fulfill their responsibilities but can't then let their children go and learn sometimes the hard way and experience through their own mistakes and so on, the devotion becomes a kind of assuming responsibility for somebody else when they rightfully should assume responsibility for themselves. And so these glamours that we are mentioning can be masked by the best of intentions.
You see this also, this fanaticism, of course, in the religious field, in religious fanatics, and they tend to be even driven by violence, driven to violence, in order to get their point across, and they're willing to sacrifice their own lives and all of that.
Well, yeah, you mean to kill in the name of God, or
yeah.
Allah, or whatever.
So I mean that's. And particularly in this, what we call the ending of the Piscean Age, which is the influence of the age of the past 2,000 years, which is said was governed by the sixth ray of devotion and idealism. And that's exactly why these ideals, great ideals, have come through into the human consciousness in the past few hundred years, is because of this influence. But it can produce good, it can produce bad, depending on the vehicle, let's say, or the personality that is being stimulated.
These glamours aren't just qualities that affect individuals, but they can apply to whole groups and nations. There are national glamours that are quite obvious to people who observe from a certain distance. And I think this nation, the United States, is facing a certain amount of glamour in the present times. One of the big glamours is the glamour of freedom, that we think we know what freedom is, and we think we can impose it on other people and they will be ever so grateful. And we're discovering that that isn't necessarily what they want at all, and that, in fact, freedom is self-chosen, self-discovered. And it may mean something quite different than just simply personal liberty. So there are national glamours that probably every nation has to recognize, and it's quite fascinating to ponder on that.
Yes, we don't really see it happening unless one is really aware and willing to step back and look at really what's happening, but behind the scenes. But behind it, there is probably an impulse for good of some kind, but it's an impulse that becomes, as you said earlier, it becomes turned upside down, mm-hmm. reversed, mm-hmm. because it passes through, perhaps from the mind or from some higher source, some higher spiritual source, like ideals. Great ideals are passed on down through from the higher spiritual masters of the wisdom, and they get come through the mind, but they get turned upside down, perhaps, as it passes through the emotional nature.
Another glamour that's conditioning national and international life is sovereignty. And that has to do with the rights of the nation, which should trump the larger international obligations. This is a very important issue as globalization knits together more and more elements of the world. Can one claim sovereignty, as I guess Burma, Myanmar is doing, in not allowing international aid workers into the country? They claim sovereignty while people are suffering terribly. It's a big problem, and the glamour of independence is one that is especially noticeable in the world today. All of this glamour, whether we're talking about individuals or nations, stems from the sense of duality, according to the ageless wisdom, which means that the person or the group or the nation sees itself as separate from the rest of the world. And then that generates the sense of, I want that. I want something that is separate mm-hmm. from me. I must have that. Or I am separate from that, and it can't touch me. It's that sense of division that is totally contrary to the oneness of the world on the inner levels. Apparently, Alice Bailey says that's what lies behind glamour.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, glamour and illusion. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. I especially like it because it was the earliest book that I read. Well, first I read the autobiography, the unfinished autobiography of Alice Bailey, but then I got into Ponder on This. And it's good because it helps you to, it's an overview of all of the books that Alice Bailey has written, and it more or less gives you a tool with which to establish a priority of which larger books you want to look at first. So it's a very good value. It's available for $19, free shipping and handling, if you mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, request Ponder on This, little note, and send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We also welcome you to order other books. There are people who have ordered the entire collection of Alice Bailey books, and when you order that from directly from Lucis Trust, you get a nice 10% discount on the entire collection, as opposed to people who buy the books in bookstores. So to order books, individual books, or cassette tapes of the radio show, or a schedule of general, a package of our general information telling you all about Lucis Trust, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866 New York Lucis. All of our Inside programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the home page, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. Now, many of you are only aware of the radio shows, but there are many, many different levels to Lucis Trust, and people in the past have donated to us, so if you'd like to donate, those donations are tax-free. And what you should do if you want to support Lucis Trust is send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You know, I've been intensely listening to the show, and one question that I do have. Well, the title of the show is Glamour and Illusion, and we'd just like you to, we hear the word glamour a lot in the show, but can you explain where the illusion comes in this show?
Mm-hmm. Illusion is more related to the constructs of the mind itself, not so much colored by emotional or desire qualities, but the concepts that we hold in our minds that may be accurate on a certain level, but are not complete. They're not a completed understanding of the truth, and then they become illusion. For example, an idea that applies on a certain level in relationships within the home might then become a limitation on a broader level. I'm not thinking of an example right now of an illusion, but the world is full of them, and people don't realize that their ideas, which have served them so well, aren't elastic enough to include a larger conception of the whole. And so they're confined by these limited ideas, which are illusions, thinking that they are the ones who know the truth. We always have to be prepared to let go of our ideas when we recognize that there is more than we thought to a particular case. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, the growing globalization is blowing to bits a lot of the assumptions, a lot of the ideas that worked very well for us in the past. Now you could say we know too much to cling to old thought forms.
Yes, that's kind of reminds me of the illusion of power. I think it's when an aspirant or a disciple suddenly is illumined suddenly by some great ideas, but some insight into the ageless wisdom, let's say, and he thinks that he becomes all powerful. It's a very powerful inspiration to him. And so he goes out and he serves and he's thinks, as you say, he thinks he knows the answer to everything, and it instills a sense of power in him, but it's really very illusory because he's just hasn't really seen the whole picture yet. And I think you see a lot of people around that have a certain idea, but they haven't plugged it into the whole,
mm-hmm.
and see themselves in relation to the whole.
In terms of the spiritual life, I think one could hold that possibility in mind, that one doesn't see the whole on the path forever, because there is always more and more of the whole to be discovered and merged with. And something I've never understood is how spiritual people can be so full of conviction that they know that they have the answers, and furthermore, that they have the answers for everybody else. I've never understood that, because if there's one thing the spiritual path should teach us, it's humility and a realization that we have so much to learn. So keep one's beliefs and ideas in one's mind, but be prepared to let go of them as one incorporates a larger grasp of the whole. I mentioned that I think people are being besieged with an influx of knowledge and information with the media today. Maybe that's why another major glamour, it seems to me, is depression taking hold of so many people today. That too is a glamour. But it ends when we stop identifying with our emotional life, when we stop perceiving ourselves as apart from the larger whole.
Yes, I think it's a particular malady or something that enters into certain disciples that when they reach a certain stage, and they see their own lives not measuring up to what they see spiritually, what they should be attaining, or what they should be expressing. They can't seem to express what they are visioning of what is coming through, what is the ideas that are being impressed upon them. They're not meeting their expectations. So it does lead to a kind of depression, I think, and maybe that's one cause of depression.
Mm-hmm. Another cause might be the sense of speed at which life is lived today. We all probably are aware that life seems faster and faster and faster, and yet the concepts of time and space, Alice Bailey says, are both constructs of the brain and not realities. And this sense of being driven by so little time, or on the other hand, of having spent what one thinks is a lot of time in one's spiritual search, and the results should have paid off by now. That's another aspect of glamour. Both of those are illusions of the brain, because the spiritual life is devoid of time. It's outside of time. And the sense of depression vanishes when you realize you have literally all the time in the world to merge with the one.
And it's the merging with the one that gets you out of yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that total focus on the little self, what they call the not self, And in other words, that which is not the soul. And it is by focusing on the soul and building the opposite characteristics that one will eventually find the way out of the morass of the this depressive kind of world or situation you find yourself in.
Well, talk about a major glamour. It's given away in the term the not-self. That's the reversal of the astral plane again. What we think is our self is in fact the not-self, the personality, the form, the persona that we present to the world. That's not who we really are. And we should keep in mind that what we see in others is just their persona and not who they really are. In fact, the word persona was, I think, the name for the mask that the Greek actors held up in front of them when they played their parts in the Greek tragedies. It helped to sound the voice through the, it was a kind of a megaphone, but it was also a mask that covered up their faces and presented an identity that the actor assumed. But it wasn't who he really was. And if we keep that in mind, we're looking in the wrong direction when we focus on our personality. How do we end glamour in our lives? Alice Bailey suggested three ways. One, by assuming the attitude of the onlooker, which provides certain detachment or disengagement, both from our own dilemma and from the dilemma of others. And by leaving everybody free to live their own lives and shoulder their own responsibilities, because we know their souls and we know they're guided toward the light. All they need is love and understanding. And she said, by the fullness of your own life of service, which leaves no time for the moments and hours we spend in suspicion and criticism and fear.
Yeah, those are the other big glamours that we all tend to fall into. So the antidote is finding the path back by way of the soul. This is what eventually will guide one away from all of this and cultivate the opposite to the high qualities of the soul, of love and goodwill, sharing, those kind of things.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available now for $19, free shipping and handling if you mention Inner Sight. Send your check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.